Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Samuel. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Anytime we have our struggles and we get focused on the problem or the circumstance or the overwhelming situation in front of us, anytime we focus on that, it becomes almost insurmountable. It's just an overwhelming thing. It just becomes bigger than life. This is not some super uncommon thing. This is what happens, and we get focused on that. And then Satan uses those things to grip us with fear. It immobilizes us, and we don't move forward. We just kind of, and this is sometimes what's challenging, I think, sometimes for us as believers, is that we are called to live this life of faith. And faith is believing in things yet unseen. So the idea is that we're going to step out and do those things, even though we don't really know exactly how that's going to play out or what the end of it's going to be. And that idea of focusing on that and ending up, they just end up immobilized. And David's just like, wait a minute. For who's this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. He says, hey, look it. There's this idea of something being given to the person who does this. He says, well, who's this guy think he is? And they said, hey, look it, you know, there's a prize at the end of this, you know, I guess, if you want to take it on. Now, Eliab, the oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David and said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? He says, basically, you're a worthless shepherd. What are you doing here, man? You know, get back to your dumb little task that you have to do and let us deal with this business of the war here. That's what they're saying. Of course, he doesn't think they're doing a very good job with that. I know your pride and your insolence of your heart, which is a misguided thought, for you have come down to see the battle. Basically, the older brother's saying, look it, dude, you just come down, saying to the kid brother, saying, hey, look it, man, you just come down here and you're just trying to find out what's going on and see how things are going here. And you just, you know, basically just kind of telling him, I know what you're all about and you just want to watch this whole thing go down. And it's interesting, John 1:11, Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. Same kind of thing, isn't it? Same type of deal. Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. You remember when we get through into portions of Isaiah, man, you know, where did you get these wounds? It was the house of my friends. You know, to the very people I've come. And they rejected. And David said, What have I done now? Is there not a cause? He's saying, wait a minute, I'm bringing up a good question here. Isn't there something worthy to be thinking about in this? Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. In other words, what happens if you actually take this guy? What's really going to happen? So he keeps asking, hey, so what really is what's the deal? How does this really work out? He kept saying, telling them the same thing. Now, when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. And then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. So he's talking regarding Goliath. He says, don't let anybody's heart fail because of this guy. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine. He says, let's settle this right now. I'm willing to go do it. Now, remember, David's a younger guy. He's the youngest of his family members, of his brothers. He's, you know, basically a good-looking, red-headed little guy that's just a shepherd boy, really. That's what he is. He takes care of his dad's sheep. And he says, look it, man, I want to go. I'll go fight with the guy. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. Now, this is important to me for just a moment, if you just give me a couple minutes here of your thoughts on this and just think with me through this. David's heart's right in what he's doing. I mean, we're clear on that. David's heart's right in what he's wanting to approach. It's a good thing. Now, he's going and talking to someone who is so focused on this and is also gripped by fear. Saul's gripped by fear. He's not a man of faith. He's a person gripped by fear. You and I need to be wise and cautious, as David is in this situation, on whom we listen to and what we're listening. Because these guys are all gripped with fear. He just says, hey, I want to know what's at the end of this. I want to know what happens at the end of this. And he says, man, that guy is making fun of our God and is making you guys look like idiots. And this isn't right. This isn't right. Our God's bigger than this. That's where David's at. Our God's bigger than this. What are you guys doing, man? You're just going to stand here and let them act like our God's not the greatest God in the world? Think of the times that we stand by and people use the Lord's name in vain. And we'll just sit there. There's nothing wrong with saying, excuse me, I will thank you not to use the Lord's name that way around me. Thanks. It gets to a certain point, it's pretty offensive, you know? And I think sometimes we're kind of in this same kind of a spot, and certainly don't ask the person who's not a person of faith. He says, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. That's a word of non-faith, you know? It's a great example of what not to listen to. Don't follow that. Because that person is gripped with fear. For you are a youth. Now that comes up all the reasons why it can't happen. You are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. There is no comparison. This is a losing proposition. In the natural, that might be true. But is that what we're dealing with as believers? In circumstances in our lives. I believe the things that we face are spiritually charged. There's things that are going on around us that happen even in our physical realm that have to do with the spirit realm that's around us. There's no doubt about that. And David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. So now David's going to defend his position. He's going to say, look it, I understand that basically. He knows Saul's the king, right? He knows that. He says, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and I struck it and killed it. He goes, man, lions, tigers and bears, right? You knew it was coming. But I couldn't resist. I apologize. But he grabs this thing and he kills it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. He says, man, this guy is standing up, making fun of our God. And this is the thing. David knows what he's trusting in. David's not just trusting his own ability, but David has had these times where he's been out doing things and watched how God can use him. See, this is the thing. We've got to be in the mix of it as believers. We've got to be out in the mix of it. When we get out sometimes in deep waters, we get a little freaked out because there's big waves. That's true. It gets a little overwhelming. It gets a little ominous sometimes. Yeah, I know. But the thing is, the Bible says you, those who do that, will see God. You'll see God move because you're overwhelmed. You come to your wit's end, the psalmist says. You come to your own wit's end, but then all of a sudden you'll see God step in the situation. We've talked about this over the last few weeks as we've been studying through 1 Samuel and the significance of being involved in things that are much bigger than ourselves or our own scope or our own ability. And in so doing, as Christians, ventures of faith, when we step out into areas and things that are just bigger than us, the deal is, hey man, you know what? It's only going to happen if God causes it to happen. It's only going to really come together if God puts it together. That's exciting stuff. That's great stuff to be about. The reason so many people look at Christianity so much is because in such a negative light is because they're looking at people that come in and out of church buildings, so-called, gatherings of so-called believers or Christians. They come in and out and they sit in exactly the same pew that they sat in last week and the week before 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 and the week on and on and on and on. And they see that and they just see this as just this inactive, boring, mundane, sedentary nothingness. I don't find my experience in Christianity has not been like that at all. Not at all. I'll tell you, the first time when I realized, when I first gave my heart back to the Lord 26 years ago, I was going to a very active church. Very active. Few thousand up to maybe 5,000 people. It was a lot. There was a lot of different people, a lot of different ages, kind of like our church has a lot of different ages, but a lot of really young people were there too. And I was on, you know, the younger side of things maybe, but not that young. So in my mid to later 20s, in that range. And I remember being there and being amongst all this stuff. I brought my Bible, I'd sit and I'd listen. I really thought we were all being trained. Really, I thought this. I thought we were all being trained to be soldiers in the army of our living God, to take this world back for Jesus Christ. I honestly really believed that with all my being. I thought that's what was going on. Now, I'm fine with the fact that maybe that was just mere ignorance on my part. I'm fine with that. But I really believe that. I thought God was training people to just go out in the battle, in the war that was raging for men's and women's souls, for families, for marriages, for kids' lives. I thought that that's what everybody was doing there. Now, granted, that might have been a little bit naive on my part, a little bit ignorant, I understand, maybe slightly idealistic. But you know what? I still believe that. I still believe that. I believe that God is still desiring to train up people for that same goal, that same objective. I really do. I really believe that. And you know, when I look at David's army, mighty men that hung out in the cave with him, they weren't the awesome dudes of their world. They were the people that were flat broke, owed a lot of money to a lot of different people, had all kinds of problems and issues in life, and these were David's mighty men. Read about them. It's in your Bible. It's in the same book I read. We get this thing in our minds. Oh, well, you know, I've got to wait till I'm a little bit, you know, before I... No. Just get activated. You know, God wants to activate us into service. I'm telling you, I was so floored when I realized, wow, I think a lot of these people... I remember even talking to my pastor about this. Man, it felt pretty stupid later, I guess, maybe. But I don't know if I did. I maybe don't feel stupid about any of it because I really believe this is all true in my heart. That is what God wants to do. But I looked at that situation. I remember when I was talking with him about it, he said, well, you know, that's not maybe everybody. Some people are just kind of coming and going. But it was clear that that was not the intention. That was not God's goal or God's objective. God doesn't have a problem. You see, it's the perspective of what we see. David's seeing this in a different lens than all the rest of the other people. Do you notice that? The rest of them, including King Saul, is seeing this through the gripping fear of worried about themselves and what's going to happen to them. That's how they're looking. It's self-focused. All of them, they were self-focused. David comes in and says, wait a minute. They're making fun of our God. You guys are going to stand for this? That's not right. Isn't it great? Isn't it refreshing to read such a thing as that, where we see something where it's so plainly stated for us in that way, where right and wrong is not clouded in this gray matter? So David, he says, man, he has defied the armies of the living God. He says, I'm going to go and take him just like I took the lion and the bear. Verse 37, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he And this is who he's trusting in, will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Saul goes, man, you know, I'm not gonna do it, so if you're willing to, that's awesome. Think of all the time that God's doing that, wanting to prepare you and me for the battles that lie ahead. If but we could realize that when we get together like this and we sit here and we open our Bibles and we start reading, that God might be preparing you and me for what lays ahead tomorrow that you don't know anything about and I don't know anything about. That's radical. But I believe the Lord's wanting to do that. And that he wants us to be ready for when that circumstance, whatever that circumstance is, comes up. And he uses the testings and the trials and the difficulties that happen to help to develop us, to build us up so that while we get in that, we're reliant on him, not on us. But that we would be preparing ourselves, okay, this time I had to deal with a lion. This other time I had to deal with a bear. I was, you know, I think David was a man of courage. I think certainly he had the emotion of fear just like anybody else would, but it didn't immobilize him, you see? He moved forward in it. He didn't get stuck. He moved forward in it. He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. So his total trust was there. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. He's trying to walk, and you know, you and I can't walk in somebody else's stuff. You know, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work to walk around in somebody else's gear. We need to be comfortable with who we are and how God's designed us. David basically ends up saying, and David said to Saul, I can't walk in these, for I have not tested them. So David just took them off. It really isn't his. It's not, he just doesn't need that. This is somebody else's stuff, and he doesn't need that. He doesn't need all that. He didn't wear any of that when he was dealing with the bear or with the lion. He didn't need any of that. He needed just what he came with, and that was his slingshots, you know, his sling and his little bag that he carried his stones in. He took his staff, his shepherd staff, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. So I thought he was a man of faith. If all he needs is 1 smooth stone, why is he grabbing 5? Well, in certain ways, it's pretty wise because he knows he's got Goliath he's got to go up against, and he knows that Goliath's got 4 brothers. And this could turn into something more than just Goliath. He's going to be prepared for what else might come. That would be 5 of them. I think it's interesting that just 1 for each of them. No more, 1 for each one of them. Man, that's some trusting right there. Number 5 is a number of God's grace. Certainly, he is relying on that to get him through this situation. God's unmerited favor toward him. So he put them in his shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began to draw near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. He was just disgusted that this little guy would come out, for he was only a youth. He wanted some kind of a good battle there, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said, you know, he's not this scarred up guy of war. You know what I mean? This is just some kid that's come out. It's like, oh, you got to be kidding me. He says to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks, your little shepherd's staff? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. says, you know, the Lord of hosts, the commander of all the forces of the universe. Again, who is it that you are going to rely on when you face the difficulty? If you're relying on you, yes, the limitations are very real. If you're relying on your own abilities, yes, you're very limited. But if you're going to rely on the one true living God, the commander of all the forces of the universe, if that's who's fighting this battle through you, surely you are victorious before you ever get started. He says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And again, what is the objective here? He's wanting to draw attention to God. He's wanting God to get the glory. David's not trying to build a name for himself. He's trying to let people see who his God is. This is important. This is significant to you and to me in the midst of my battle and your battle, the things that we face. If we're looking to this to promote ourselves or to draw attention to ourselves, then we're missing the whole objective. This is to bring honor and glory to our God, the one true living God. Again, I was so taken back when I realized, wow, you mean we're all not being, this isn't what everybody's doing here? I thought we were all really being trained to do, you know, I still live and think like that. When I talk with people and people ask me something, I answer them with exuberance and enthusiasm about God and about how God can help them with their situation. Because I know, because I've lived out and I've experienced, God can do that. God can help you. But you and I have to yield ourselves to God and let God have his way. Let God do what he needs to do. Let God do the necessary surgery in our lives that needs to happen sometimes. And it's painful sometimes. Yes, it is. But the ultimate healing and victory in it is so well worth it. We have to yield ourselves over, let God have his way. Well, certainly this Philistine's not going to do that. He wants to fight it out. David says, man, you've defied the one true living God, and we're done. It's not going to last any longer. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. Isn't that great? Everybody gets in the same way. That's how God saves. Man, not by sword or by spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And so it was. Again, who does the battle belong to? Whose battle is it? You think God can fight his own battles? I think so. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. I know as you've been listening to the word today that God may very well be speaking to many of you. And maybe some of you just need to come back to the Lord. Maybe some of you need to give your life to the Lord who've never given your lives to the Lord. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, Jesus said that calling out to those who are burdened with the things of life. And Jesus wants us to come alongside with him. He is gentle and lowly in heart. And that's where we're going to really find rest for our souls. It's a simple prayer of faith. And I just want to pray this simple prayer along with you. So if you just want to pray this, whether you're driving or whether you're sitting at home or wherever you are, you might be in your office, you might have this coming on through your earbuds, but the Lord wants to make himself known to you and for you to have a personal relationship with him. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a personal relationship. And it starts by just saying yes to Jesus and giving your life to him. Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I want to give my life to you. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I want to cast all my cares upon you, knowing that you care for me. And I know that, Lord, I feel weighted down and burdened by the things of this life. And I just want to have that newness of life. And so I ask that you'd come into my life and be my personal Lord and Savior. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior into my heart. And I ask that you would just continue that work that you've begun in my life right now. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And if you're social media savvy, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes store now, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.
Jesus, come.